is Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. It's Money Smart Week in Wisconsin, a good time for people to think about their personal finances. A recent survey by the National Federation for Consumer Counseling shows 60% of Americans admit they don't have a budget, the highest that figure has been in 6 years. The director of UW Extension for La Crosse County, Mary Meehan Strube, talked with Kevin Birch, a financial wellness advocate for Catholic Charities of La Crosse, and Lisa Arneson, the director of counseling for Consumer Credit Counseling Services of La Crosse. Lisa Arneson talks about what she's seen with personal finances in recent years with a shaky economy.
In the personal finance industry, things have changed over the years. And I think, I've been in this industry for the last 12 years. And when I first started, we did a lot of proactive counseling, helping people kind of understand, you know, if I make this decision financially, what's going to happen with that? And as the economy and life and things have changed and developed over years, what has happened is a lot of times people are now just trying to survive, just trying to figure out how to pay the mortgage, how to pay the rent, how to get through the month. And so most recently, what we're really trying to do is build that awareness, help people understand that there are agencies like ours in the community who is just really there as a resource and to help you learn about different options that you might have.
There's a study by the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and it shows that 60% of the people in our country don't have a personal budget. Is that your experience? And if it is, why hasn't the economic struggles that people have had to face done more to change that?
It is our experience, and I think what happens is budgeting's not fun, right? Nobody wants to do this. These are lifestyle changes, and it takes a lot to make that decision not to go out to eat when the money isn't there and to use that money for rent or utilities or other things that are more important. And I think that people don't want to feel constricted. They don't want to feel as if they can't do something. So to put a budget together, the idea of, and I don't really use the term budgeting, we use spending plans, but to do that, to put a spending plan together, it has to be realistic, and it also has to be so that you are still being able to live and not restricting yourself too much.
I liken that term budget to the word diet, and that's when you mentioned constricting before, and people don't like that.
I would agree with that, and you know, you also have to allow for the guilty pleasures in life too. If you're on a diet and you enjoy that chocolate or that ice cream or whatever, you still need to allow yourself a little bit of that, and a little in moderation usually can go a long way. And the same is with personal finances. You know, you still need to allow yourself those guilty pleasures and plan for them, and then you know, hopefully the budget will take care of itself and you will be successful.
And that, I would expect, probably helps you to be somewhat more successful if you've planned for it and included the kinds of things that you really do want to do.
For sure. Pay yourself first. I mean, that you have to plan that in or you will derail.
Absolutely.
So why are we falling short in this country when it comes to personal finance?
I think that very question, you can flip it and just say because finances are personal. And I, too, like to use the dieting or the health and exercise as an example. You know, we see people every day who have lost weight and we'll run up to them and we're willing to jump on that next new diet or next new thing that's out there. That's just our body is just as much personal to us, but we're willing to try it. But I think with finances, it's somehow different. People, you know, look at it and say, well, then I have to reveal what I make and what I do. And I think they're afraid, you know, again, that some of the guilty pleasures will be taken away. And some of them just don't want to reveal that to, we'll say, a stranger or someone else.
I completely agree. And I also think it kind of comes down to a judgmental thing. You know, to give that kind of information to somebody, like you're saying, a stranger or someone else, and what if they judge you? And how are they how are they going to look at you? How are they going to view you? You know, we like to think that we don't really care what other people think of us, but in reality, you are being judged based off of what you have or haven't done with your money. So to find someone that you feel comfortable with, that you know isn't going to judge you, and within a community that you know everything's going to be completely confidential.
So what's a typical client like for you?
There isn't.
I would agree
with
that.
Everybody's different. There's all walks of life.
So it isn't just people who don't have enough money or people who've overspent.
Oh, no. I've worked with attorneys, judges, doctors, people that have, you know, I always say it isn't how much money you have. It's what you do with the money that you have. And the more that you have to manage, sometimes the harder that is too. So anybody can have money issues. That's not prone to any one certain group or class of citizens at all.
So if somebody who's listening to Newsmakers today wants to get their personal finances in order, what's a good way to start?
I like to say try something. If you went to a doctor and you were struggling with your health or weight, I'm sure they would be happy if you tried something to get back on track. And you know, I kind of say the same thing. You know, if throw a dart, you know, just start with something. If you're not willing to have someone review your finances and sit down with them, but obviously, you know, an expert in the industry or somebody who is, you know, in the industry will have have some better tools and things like that. But, you know, just personally, if, you know, you try something and start with a budget and, you know, contact someone you feel comfortable with, a second pair of eyes on anything is going to have, you know, they'll have better ideas and maybe different ideas for you to think outside of the box than what you're normally doing.
I would agree with you, Kevin. I think the best step first is to get a copy of your credit report and become aware of your indebtedness and what you owe, what you have out there, and then be willing to sit down with someone. And I would highly recommend that you sit down with someone who is certified in this, right? You go to a doctor when you're ill because the doctor knows. It's the same thing with this. You go to somebody who is trained, understands how finances work, is constantly, you know, being educated on the changes, things of that nature. This isn't something that you want to go to some your next door neighbor with, because they just may not be aware of how complex or how simple something could be.
Now, before the housing crisis, healthcare debt had been one of the big reasons that people filed personal bankruptcy. Is that still an issue?
That's what we see at the agency. We still see medical as a huge reason for people filing. I haven't seen anything that has changed in our area in all the offices that we have. It is typically either medical or divorce.
And do you expect that the Affordable Care Act will have an impact on personal finances then?
I believe that it will. I think this, for some people, may be even more of a reason to get that spending plan put in place and making sure that you can afford your monthly premiums. And if you can't, you know, look for ways that what are different options that you may or may not have in order to be able to do that.
And, of course, we live in a college town here, and so we're always, and we hear lots in the news about college debt, too. It reached more than $1 trillion here in the U.S. Is this the biggest personal finance issue for young people today?
I believe that it is, and I think what's concerning is, you know, what we hear in the industry is the debt is there, and then the graduation happens, and the employment is not.
Is there a formula that suggests how much debt that someone should take on, given whatever their salary is going to be after graduation?
I'm not aware of. I can't speak on that.
I'm not either. It's so wide open. You know, it depends on the area you're willing to relocate to. You know, if you have some of those ideas in mind, then you should be looking at, you know, what is the standard for the area? You know, how much debt am I going to be taking on versus my monthly payment and my salary that I could expect from the region that I'm willing to move to or planning to move to. But that's a difficult one.
That's the one that I get the call from the parents whose child is going to go to some kind of a specialty school or something that they're doing online that tends to have a higher tuition and expenses involved with it. And so they come out with a $40,000 debt after a year of schooling, and they're going to go to a job that pays minimum or barely over minimum wage. And the parents are saying, this just doesn't seem to work out for me. And so if you had that kind of case, what would you say to those parents?
The biggest thing is to jump on that student loan debt quickly before it does start affecting your credit. So, yes, you know, there are going to be times where, you know, once you graduate, maybe you don't land that initial job. You have to work your way up. And, you know, we're seeing that a lot more in organizations where they want to make sure you're a fit with the culture and the vision and the mission and all of that. And sometimes it is starting in the lower paying jobs. And, you know, you may be educated for a higher paying job, but it's what's available and you take that. You know, having the foresight to jump on that student loan debt quickly and look for deferments, forbearances, things like that, consolidations to ensure that the monthly payment is affordable with your income. And most of the student loan lenders that are out there are willing to work with you, but it's contacting them and working out a plan.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio, La Crosse. I'm Mary Meehan Strube. It's Money Smart Week in Wisconsin, and we're talking about personal finance issues with our guest, Kevin Birch of Catholic Charities of La Crosse and Lisa Arneson of Consumer Credit Counseling Services of La Crosse. What are some of the trends that you see as you work with individuals and families in how they handle their financial resources?
The biggest trend that I'm seeing right now is people do have, you know, if you want to call it, we work with a pyramid of priorities. They have their priorities in line. But the one thing that's lacking is the emergency savings. I would say that is probably, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, is it, you know, the health care debt, you know, racking up medical bills and or is it divorce or at some point in our lives, something's going to happen, a loss of job or whatever. And I like to say, you know, through the years, the list is endless of the number of reasons that put people into financial trouble. But the main reason that it boils down to that they are in financial trouble is they didn't plan for it. So there is no emergency savings set aside. And when life happens and that financial crisis hits, they're not prepared for it. And I think that's the biggest trend. It's probably the scariest trend. And I think, you know, anybody listening right now, if they can just think, you know, if, you know, a lot of times it's that's not going to happen to me or that happened to that person or whatever. But if you really dig deep and say, if I lost my job tomorrow or my spouse lost their job tomorrow, where would I be financially? Or if, you know, I had an injury or something of that nature, am I truly covered and are my wages truly covered to sustain it and sustain my financial situation?
I had asked about, you know, tips before, and when you talk about those situations, Kevin, something that's in the back of my mind is that you're supposed to have enough money in savings so that you could live for, it's either 3 or 6 months if you lost your job, couldn't work, or for whatever reason didn't have money coming in that you normally would come in. Is that still a tip that you share with people?
It is, and it's funny that you say that. 3 to 6 months, depending on who you talk to, that's kind of the range that you would be looking for. But yes, I mean, 3 to 6 months, you know, with clients, again, when I say do something, is, you know, start something today and have something there. To say that it has to be 3 months, that might be, you know, if you look at the dollar figure, it could be thousands. That becomes overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So again, if you start and do something today, that really is the key. And it will build over time, and hopefully, you know, you would be able to sustain that you know, that financial emergency. And if not, you know, hopefully you don't have one after the other that really drains it, but at least you've bought yourself some time to recover.
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is don't get discouraged by that 3 to 6 months. Like Kevin's saying, doing something, whether you start at saving $10 a month, that's $10 more a month that you weren't saving before. And eventually that stuff adds up. And it's not when life happens, right? We know life is going to happen.
Right.
So I should say it's not the if when it, life happens, it's when it happens. It makes sense to start that saving so that you're not referring back to your credit cards when that debt comes about.
So how do the personal finance problems in the La Crosse area compare with the rest of Wisconsin and, say, the U.S. in general?
Very similar, I would say. We spend more than we make. That's a very common trend.
I know, Lisa, you have offices in various locations on the other side of the state as well. And Kevin, you have them outlying offices even up into central Wisconsin. Is that what you see in those same areas here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. The issues are consistent. It really goes back to what Kevin's saying, is not saving enough, not being prepared for the future where we know it's going to happen, yet we're not doing that.
Are there some general rules that when you work with someone that you tell them and those who are listening today that they should be doing on a monthly basis to plan for, say, their retirement, no matter what their paycheck is?
Probably the first thing that I look at, you know, once the budget is stabilized. So, in other words, you're not borrowing to support the budget. I mean, once that's stabilized, you know, and you're working on that emergency savings to start planning for the retirement, there are some pretty simple tricks that you can factor in there, because there probably is free money out there from your employer, whether that be a matching, you know, retirement fund or matching 401k or something of that nature. And you can work that in to what you're already receiving. So even if maybe you see that it isn't affordable right now, you get that 3% raise. Well, if you are living off of the income you're currently making, when that 3% raise comes, raise that, you know, start contributing that 3% to the 401k, and you are not going to see a change. You're still receiving the same amount of income, but now you're contributing to that 401k and you're getting that employer match if they do. It's tough, because if they're willing to match a certain percentage, you want to try to at least meet that. That's free money that you're seeing, you know, go out the door every day if you're not contributing.
You started out and talked a little bit about emergency funds, and we've just talked about retirement, but both of those are things where you're taking a percentage or a dollar amount, something, and putting it into some form of a savings type of an account for the future. And is that one of the key rules as you work with people and developing spending plans or so-called budgets? Is that one of the first things you say is pay yourself first, save for yourself first?
For sure, especially if there isn't the emergency savings already set aside. Mm-hmm. As Lisa said and I said earlier, life's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You will have those unforeseeable things, and you can't think that will never happen to me. So it is a working towards that, and sometimes it's a scary situation for some people to realize, wow, I never thought of that. And I can tell you, we do quite a bit of housing counseling in the area of foreclosure, or even people who are, you know, facing eviction. And a lot of times what comes to us is, I didn't think this would happen to me. I never thought this would happen to me. Again, it's just not being prepared. And so, yes, it's one of the key points that you have to be prepared, and that's where we need to start. Pay yourself first. Get that emergency savings.
Kevin Birch is a financial wellness advocate for Catholic Charities of La Crosse, and Lisa Arneson is Director of Counseling for Consumer Credit Counseling Services of La Crosse. They were interviewed by UW Extension Director for La Crosse County, Mary Meehan Strube, about personal finances. This is the 8th annual Money Smart Week in Wisconsin. listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk with the authors of a new book on the popularity of bicycling in Wisconsin and its development at the end of the 19th century. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to Money Smart Week. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.